Any ideas for a show title? I keep on forgetting to poll the chat room for show title ideas after the show, and I'm always stuck the next day trying to remember what we talked about and what was a good.
The Kingdom of Heaven for a bowl of oatmeal.
My Kingdom of Heaven for a bowl of oatmeal. Nice.
Yeah.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 37, recorded live Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossedOnline.com. To my right is Mr. Peyton Francis of CardboardTreehouse.com. Mr. Francis, how are you doing this evening?
I'm all right. It's all good around here. Hello, world.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Back from a, I guess, work duty his previous week, filled in for by Ryan of the Gamers Inn. It is now Chad. And the only thing that you need to know about Chad, besides the fact that he's back, is that you don't need to know anything else about Chad. Chad, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, and you just said duty.
I did.
I know. I thought the same thing for like four. Duty. Yeah. Duty.
You guys have got babies on the brain. It's all about the duty.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I was running a little late tonight. We are now entering the wonderful world of potty training. And he's like, I got poopy. I'm like, all right, let's take care of that thing.
Yeah, well, hey, well, if he's calling it out, he's calling it out, right? It's just, or he's calling your bluff. I don't know.
He's calling his shot is what he's doing. He's putting the left field, and he's going, this is where it's coming.
Going long. If you happen to be new to the Citadel Cafe, this is where we three come to hang out and talk about the things that we have been into lately. We gravitate towards geeky sci-fi fantasy stuff, but we're not myopic. We cover anything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites, even some music sometimes. And I will, of course, start off with the ever-present StarCrossed Volume 1 update. As of last week, it was funded. I'm pretty sure I said it was funded last week, so I'm super stoked. But since then, we've surpassed the first stretch goal, and we've now come within $123 of the double shot stretch goal.
Nice.
Which happens to be the laminate cover, which does a few things. One, it makes it nice and shiny. So if you want to distract your cats, you know, you can use the book.
I know what else you can do with a laminate cover.
Oh, yeah?
When you put your coffee cup down on it on the coffee table, because that's where it's going to be, you can wipe it off easier.
Yeah, you can. You can. It protects the book from not, I don't want to say a coffee spill, but possibly a coffee ring. You might be able to save it. But it certainly protects it from scuffs and stuff that happens sometimes during shipping, as well as just, you know, in your backpack. Because, yeah, I mean, you're going to want to take this everywhere. So,
yes,
you know, you have to be careful with it.
So it's a coffee-proof coffee book.
Yes.
Yes.
But is it, you want to take it everywhere like Curious George in Forrest Gump? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping people will want to take it everywhere.
I think that anyone who buys one, especially from overseas, should take a photograph of the book by some monument in the area and then send it so you can see where
I would love that. And actually, I already have one guy from Portugal, I think.
Greg's in France.
I feel, but yeah, no, I know Greg's in France. There's one. There's a couple going to England. There's one going to France. I'm pretty sure I'm sending one to Australia.
Nice.
It's Portugal or is it some other? There's a South American country in there too, and I can't remember which one it is. I feel bad because I was actually talking to the guy on Twitter. Anyway, there are lots of books going everywhere, so I'm really excited about that, and that's a great idea. I shall put that on the blog and say, you know, if you're out there around the world and you get the book, then take a picture and send it, and I will be more than happy to share that. If anybody else is wondering actually what the next step is when the Indiegogo campaign closes in about 8 hours, I'll be able to get all the data that you submitted to Indiegogo, like your mailing address and your email address and any other kind of info, so that I'll be able to get in touch with people and say, hey, you forgot your shipping, or hey, you know, the post office needs more info or whatever. So if any other glitches arise, I can get in touch with people. I'll also be getting in touch with people for the 9x12 commission requests, as well as t-shirt sizes, confirming original comic purchases, that kind of stuff. So all of that stuff will happen after the Indiegogo campaign completes, because that's when they release the data to me.
Medium.
Yes. Yeah. No, I figured as much. and that's kind of it for my StarCrossed update. I mean, I'm super flattered. I was able to chime in on the morning stream this morning and thank the Tadpole for their support. And yeah, that's kind of the end. I'm just Oof. Super excited to get the book finished. Well, everything's done except for the cover. I'm coloring the cover right now. That's the only thing left. It goes to proof tomorrow at the printer. I will hopefully have something in my hands early next week, and then I can just say yes, print X number, and away we go.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's kind of my big news. I've been playing more Mists of Pandaria, something that Ryan had brought up last week on the show, which is the new Warcraft expansion, and it's a very pretty game. I really like the art direction and stuff like that in it. But it's a little repetitive, and I have to give it more time, because neither Jocelyn and I, or I, are endgame. Like, we're just still leveling. I mean, our main character is only level 40 out of now 90. We're, you know, enjoying Panda Monks, which are now level 9. So, I mean, it's just more leveling, more quests, more collect this, more kill this. The reasons are interesting, and there's a little bit of lore in there, but it feels like a lot of the same. But I'm hearing a lot of different things from people that are playing Mists of Pandaria at the end game in raiding when they're like level 85 and they're doing all this other content and stuff like that. So we're hoping to get up there sooner. Now that we're in the guild, it shouldn't take too long. But that my judgment hammer is being held tight. I'm not dropping it yet because I really haven't had much time. I took some time over the weekend to hang out with Jocelyn before she went back to work this week and play some video games, and it was fun, but it was mostly fun because it was hanging out with her and not because it was anything drastically new and amazing from Warcraft. So I will fill everybody in when, you know, it starts to be all it's cracked up to be, or if it does. What's new with you guys? Anything fantastic, amazing, stupendous, superfluous?
Getting pretty sick and tired of hearing about pandas, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh my god, I know. If you're on Twitter or if you're anywhere on the internet, it's pandemonium. Ha ha ha.
Oh, oh,
yeah, you haven't heard that one before either, yeah.
My Twitter feed is pandas, whiny billionaires and millionaires, and friggin' media types trying to defend them all. Like, that's all my Twitter is right now, and it's driving me crazy. I need to branch out.
Yeah, really though. Do you guys use Tweetbot on the phone?
No.
No.
I use Hootsuite.
Hootsuite. Oh, okay. Well, Tweetbot was in the news recently, and I wanted to know what you guys were using.
Twitter. I use the Twitter app.
They're on the news for why? Was good or bad?
No. Well, they have a desktop app now. And I really like their phone app. Both Jocelyn and I, and pretty much everybody else that we follow that's like into gaming news or journalism in any way, uses Tweetbot on iOS for Twitter. And they have a desktop beta, but unfortunately they had to close the beta, so it's invite only to people because of the way that Twitter changed the API rules recently, all the flack that Twitter was taking. So I just wanted to know whether you guys had you know, downloaded the desktop client or were using the phone client at all. But it's one of those things where it takes you forever to pull the trigger and buy the $2.99 Tweetbot app. but once you do, like, I will never go back. As long as Tweetbot is around, I will always use it because it's so much better than the Twitter app and anything else that I've used.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I'm on Twitter a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like Hootsuite because I'm able to get my Facebook stream through that and it doesn't crash.
Oh, yeah. And are you using that on the iPad or the iPhone?
iPad and the phone.
Right. Yeah. See, an iPad would be good for something like that, like a multi-stream client, because you've got the screen real estate.
Oh, yeah.
And another question, actually. I updated the operating system on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that no one seemed to be talking about with the changes was the loss of YouTube. The YouTube app's gone.
Yeah, it is. It sucked anyway.
You have to download. There's a standalone app now from Google.
From Google?
Yeah. You have to download the YouTube app separately. It's free. There's two major things that changed with regards to the relationship with Google and iOS. The first is that Google Maps is no longer the native map app on iOS. And there isn't one as far as we know.
Yes, Google Earth still works.
Oh, yes. Google, okay, well, Google Earth. Not quite the same as Google Maps, but
no,
but
no,
getting there. Right. Yeah. But you can look for that, I'm assuming, sometime soon. I'm sure that there's some engineers at Google that are burning the midnight oil trying to put together a map app. The native app for maps on Apple, on the iOS, is now from Apple. The other thing, of course, is that YouTube is no longer part of the operating system. Yeah. And the new app is better in most ways. You can browse, you can, you know, interact with the YouTube page while the video is going. It just doesn't go like default to full screen.
Okay.
The problem that I have with it.
That was a terrible app before.
It was, but the one thing it did and did well was AirPlay.
Yeah, that's what I'm having trouble with now.
And the new Google, the new Google YouTube app, only, at least on my iPhone 4, only AirPlays audio. It doesn't do the video, and it cheeses me off.
If you go to the YouTube, well, I know with mine, if you go to the YouTube website and you do mirroring on the iPad, it sends it to, or AirPlay, it sends it to the TV. Because I use it a lot because, you know, you don't just yell at some random cartoon that I don't have. I'm like, all right, I'll see if it's on YouTube. So
yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, and actually that reminds me, Peyton, I don't know. I think it's out on the iPad, at least in the US. You might have to check for Canada, but there's now a separate Netflix app for kids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's just, it's got like a different icon, or it's a different section within the Netflix icon. So, I mean, Ewan's a little bit young to be using the iPad by himself just yet, but when he gets there, you can put them on the kid friendly Netflix. And they'll be able to browse around, and everything there is kid appropriate. You know, one of the guys that me and Jocelyn watch online all the time, Brian Brushwood, was talking about his kids and how, you know, his daughter is between 3 and 5. So she's old enough to not, she can't read, but she can still know what a picture of SpongeBob SquarePants looks like. And, you know, if she sees that album art, she's going to want to watch that show on Netflix. The problem is some more adult, you know, Japanese comics, the album art looks very similar to kids' art, you know, in the eyes of a 3-year-old. So
what's Patrick doing to SpongeBob?
Yeah. So Brian was saying that, you know, it's a godsend for kids, because or parents, I guess, because then you can use that kid friendly one, so that there's no other stuff. And
they have the character one on the Apple TV as well. So
and what it does, it'll also change. The only thing is that, you know, it's associated with your account on the Apple TV or on the iPad. But the cool thing is that now with a separate app, your kids watching cartoons constantly won't necessarily affect your Netflix recommended and preferences, like your your recommendals, I guess. The way that it works now is, I mean, it's a little bit different for you and I, because you and I watch a lot of cartoons anyway.
Yeah.
But for someone like Chad, who doesn't necessarily watch a lot of cartoons, you know, you're trying to figure out what Netflix is suggesting for you, and it's suggesting a lot of kid content because that's what your kid happens to be watching. That's not necessarily what you want to watch once the kid is in bed. So it cuts off the fat, I guess, from that part of the Netflix recommendations. Mm-hmm. Recommendals? Really, Joel? Recommendals. Wow. Okay.
You're just hitting them out tonight.
Yep. Yep. Like you said, left field, solid gold shit all the way. Oh, boy.
The podcasting award this year for horribly pronounced words goes to.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you don't need baseball, Chad. You need hockey.
Oh, fuck. You're telling me. You're telling me, man. Oh, and guess what's on right now? The 2005 replay of the World Junior Class Championships, where Canada went 6-0 and like dominated everybody, because they had, like, out of all the guys that were on that team in that year, 9 of them have gone on to win the Stanley Cup in the last 7 years.
Right. So,
like, that's pretty important. Like, Crosby was there, Getzlaf. Oh, geez. Everybody, but I think Phaneuf won it that year. So,
wow. Right on. Well, I guess we can move into movies, TV, and video. Chad, why don't you kick off the new section, or the, not the new section, the first section.
Keep going, man. Keep going.
I know. I know. I know. Everybody's just waiting for
just
me to put my foot in my mouth.
Just keep swimming.
Escape. It's spelled just like escape.
Anyways, yes. So this week, and the last week, because I wasn't here, I had the chance of picking up Kingdom of Heaven on Blu-ray, dirt cheap, the director's cut. And yeah, it's a whole different movie.
Is it really?
It's 45 minutes extra.
Geez, that's a long movie to begin with.
And they all live at the end?
It's 3 hours longer, for God's sake. Like, you remember at the beginning, I'm not going to get into it too much because, you know, I don't want to ruin it. But at the beginning, you kind of meet Orlando Bloom. You find out his wife committed suicide and they hack off her head.
Right.
And the priest is kind of a douche. And, you know, then you meet his dad and then they leave. Right. Well, in this, you find out that number one, the priest is his brother.
Oh, my God.
Number two, you actually see his wife pregnant and like interacting. He's remembering her. The lord of the castle we actually meet and whose son is in fact the Kingslayer, the guy that I think he meets on the road eventually to come kill him. Like it's from Game of Thrones. It's the Kingslayer, Jaime Lannister.
Oh, right on.
You meet the lord of the manor. You find out that the lord of the manor is actually his uncle, but he doesn't know that, you know, he's the bastard son, blah, blah, blah. And it's like half an hour of the movie is still in France. Whereas before, it was, what, 10, 15 minutes tops?
Yeah, you know.
So, and it really sets. And then you find out, oh, wait, Orlando Bloom's character, you know how he knows all this stuff about siege warfare and he can fight and all that stuff? You're like, wait a minute, he's a blacksmith. How does he know all this shit? It turns out he fought in wars before that. And you find out that. That's mentioned. Like little things like that. I ended up finding a really good website that did movie censorship, but on how much different the director's cut was. And just to quote the website, it was, it offers several new scenes that enhance the plot and reintegrates violent scenes that were not in the theatrical cut. The running time of the director's cut is more than 3 hours. Okay. Like I said, it was a completely different movie. And, you know, because I was always, the one problem I had with that movie was Bloom's character. The development was like, wasn't very great, I thought, but then you get to find out who he really is. And the queen, played by Eva Green, I think your name is?
Yep, that's her.
Yeah, she is a whole different person too, because there's way more to her that we find out. And reasoning, and the reasoning for some of her actions later on is way more justified in the director's cut, because there's a whole other character introduced that we didn't even know existed.
Yeah, there's she comes across as pretty loopy.
Yeah,
in the original film,
especially at the end, and she's like, wow, you're pretty devastated because your brother died. Like, I mean, hey, he's your brother, but like,
yeah,
wow, you're really devastated. And you know, there's a reason why that is, because of a whole other character, so which you never ever saw before. So and then there's actually, they've dubbed over certain speech, and so some of the lines are dubbed over where they to eliminate some of these characters that we never talked about before. Like I think Liam Neeson, when he kills the guy on the road, he says, send the bishop my love. It's not send the bishop my love. It's send my brother my love, as he kills him. Right. Like, because it was his brother that sent him to get him and stuff. Like, it's really worth, if you get a chance to watch it, it's worth seeing, because if you're a fan of the movie, because it really adds to the movie.
I am. I own the original.
Yeah.
Not on Blu-ray, obviously, but on DVD.
Yeah, me too. And then when I saw it was so cheap on Blu-ray, I said, well, I'll pick it up. And then.
What'd you end up paying for it?
$10.
Nice.
Yeah. So HMV, I know they're going the way of the dodo. Like, who buys CDs nowadays?
Yeah.
Movies and stuff. They're really killing themselves. But they've always got deals now. Like, crazy deals.
Well, the thing that they're cleaning up on is that not a lot of people can maintain or afford the bandwidth to stream 1080p.
True.
I mean, I was trying to watch just last week. We were talking about the Hobbit trailer. And I was trying to watch it with Jocelyn, and we had to wait for it to load because the 1080p trailer from iTunes was taking a while and it was lagging a little bit, and we were getting not feedback, but pausing and stuff when you know, at key points when you just want the whole thing to, it's only a minute long, like, you know, you just want to watch the trailer. It's supposed to be pretty fast, you know, fast paced, not like jump cuts and pausing and skipping or it would continue. Have you guys ever had this happen where the audio continues but the video doesn't?
I used to before it had updated, but that was a while ago. I don't. Ooh. It might not be the update, but
yeah, no. Well, that update happened since then, so maybe that doesn't happen anymore. But we always take your advice, Chad, which is when we decide that we're going to rent something or stream something from Netflix in 1080p, we hit play, make dinner. And then and pause it, you know, and then come back to it when it's got a bit of a buffer, and then we don't have any issues.
So you know what I found out I ended up doing too is, depending on the movie, some of them I'll turn on 1080p and others I'll just downgrade the quality. If it's like just a comedy I could care less about, I'll downgrade the quality, and then it's 2 minutes and it's down.
Yeah. Well, we've been watching season 3 of Community.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of like shut your brain off, watch 22 minutes of television. And I hadn't seen the second half of season 3, so it's kind of fun to see some of it. And that we don't care. I mean, if it starts to get grainy, I mean, whatever. We can still hear it. It's not like anything, you know, Chevy Chase is not going to crack me up with one of his amazing facial expressions because he's old and should not be on television anymore. That's a whole other conversation. I won't get into that.
Nice.
So. Peyton, what have you been watching this week?
Oh, he's got one more.
Oh, you got one more?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Getting bumped to the second page.
I got bumped to the second page.
It's okay. I got the Avengers on Blu-ray, watched it. We don't need to discuss that because, hey, we've seen it. We've already talked about it on the show. But I will say with the Blu-ray, gag reel, boys. Gag reel.
Oh, yeah?
Watch. The gag reel is priceless, man.
I saw some, I think, on YouTube, but...
Oh, yeah. Man.
Coulson!
Yeah! she lost it. That was really well. And then there's a scene where, in slow motion in the movie, you see Iron Man take his hammer in slow-mo as he's fighting the creatures, and then there's Captain America behind him, like, with the shield in action and stuff. Well, in the gag reel, you see Captain America going about his business like everything's fine, but there's, was it Christopher Hemsworth, and he's taking the hammer, but he doesn't take it at the right angle, so it kind of starts to spin, and it's all in slow motion, and as it's going, he's fumbling it in slow motion, and he's trying, he's really trying to get it, and finally, he almost has it, and he drops it, but the best part is, there's, what's his name in the background, the Captain America, and he's got it all, like, everything, he's perfectly choreographed, doing everything he's supposed to be doing, and there's Thor bumbling like a fool.
Nice.
Yeah, so watch the gig. Don't miss it on the gag.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to catching that on Blu-ray because I felt like it was really hard to follow. There was just a lot of action, a lot of stuff flying by on the screen.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to checking out the slightly smaller, you know, television experience. Still in high def, but, you know, not on a giant screen where my head is spinning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Were there any like extended cuts or any additional footage or anything?
There was deleted scenes and there was extended scenes that weren't built into the Blu-ray itself. Like you have to go into the menu and watch them. Yeah. And I still haven't done that yet because I with deleted scenes now, I'm a little skeptical of deleted scenes. They're usually deleted for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're gonna try and figure out what part of the movie it was in. And so
we're all a little spoiled by the Lord of the Rings extended editions that make the movie so that. Much better, you know, and then you realize that no, not everybody's supposed to make 3-hour epics, you know. Avengers was probably cut, you know, to its length for a reason. Yeah, right on. Cool. Well, sorry for skipping ahead. That was well worth mentioning. I didn't see that there below the fold. I was not doing my homework. For anybody listening, we put the show notes together about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So it came together.
Normally we're better than that.
But. Yeah. Well, everybody's got busy. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's busy this time around. Peyton, sir, what have you been watching this week?
Two things actually. Salmon Fishing on the Yemen with Ewan McGregor and Emily Blunt.
Okay.
Anyway, it's I went into it with very, you know, no real expectations of what it was going to be about. You know, maybe romantic comedy, maybe like a little, you know, like a drama thing. I don't really know. It seemed to be kind of quirky from the trailer. But like, it wasn't like laugh out loud funny or anything, but there's a lot of moments you were chuckling. You're like, huh, that's kind of funny. And it was just, like a nice light film, right? Like, right, you know, there's, I guess they were trying to do some serious undertone stuff there, but Ewan McGregor is this fisheries officer who essentially has like Asperger's or something. He doesn't relate to people at all. He just likes his fish. And there's a sheikh who wants to introduce fishing on the Yemen to help foster political. Just place people to get together and just chat in the open, you know, because if you're fishing, you're just fishing. It doesn't matter your political views or anything. You're just after this fish, right? So, anyway, so it's kind of an interesting idea, but he comes in, he's like, it's impossible to do it. So Ewan McGregor just starts saying random stuff like, I want to meet the guys who came up with the Three Gorges Dam. You know, I want $50 million to make this and all this stuff. And they're like, well, okay. So all these outlandish things start happening. He's like, okay. And then he sort of gets into it and stuff. It's just a fun little film. I saw it on rented on iTunes.
Huh.
And
well, Ewan McGregor is one of my favorite actors, but I'm struggling to remember what I've seen Emily Blunt in. Is she good?
Jane Eyre and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Young Victoria. She was in that one I watched recently, The 5-Year Engagement. She was in that. She seemed to be popping up in a lot of different places lately. So.
Well, she was in The Muppets.
Yeah.
Miss Piggy's receptionist. Oh, okay. I know who that is. Oh, yeah, okay.
She's in Devil
Wears Prada,
Prada
as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Outside of The Muppets, it's a long list of movies that I haven't seen.
And on a related note, she's married to Jim on The Office.
Oh, right on.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a Jim from Taxi.
Jim from Taxi.
What?
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. And the other thing I saw, which is it's only 14 minutes long. It's a short that should really be like a feature film or something. It's called Plurality, and it was only posted on YouTube a couple of days ago. But it's set in the future where there's New York itself. It has a new social network that everybody in the city, when you touch anything, it records a little bit of your DNA, and all of your social media, everything about you is attached to your DNA. So your banking, your social media, everything you do, your job, your likes, everything, right? So crime in New York essentially has stopped. But there's something happens, I guess, and there's a little twist where there end up being two people with the same DNA. So these cops are going after them, trying to figure out what's happening and why these people keep showing up. Because up to that moment, they're not a criminal until they show up on the grid as a second person. So it's very well shot, and it's worth checking it. If you got 15 minutes, it's worth checking it for sure. It's called, again, Plurality. So
right 15 on.
Minutes.
Yeah, and it's
15 minutes of your day.
It's got it's up to 35,000 hits already. And you said it's only been up for a couple of days?
Well, it was published on the 1st.
Huh. Soon to be 35,100 after this show goes there.
True, sir. Very, very true. Yes. Well, I actually have been spending my free time in animation. I missed my superhero cartoons. You know, like I don't think I was really that satisfied with The Dark Knight Rises as the final, you know, Batman film. It didn't rise for me. It didn't rise to the occasion. I didn't feel, you know, pumped after I went to go see it. Mm-hmm. So I saw the movie poster for Batman The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 on iTunes. And like I said, I had some downtime this weekend. So Jonathan and I rented both this and the Superman versus the Elite that you had recommended, Peyton.
Okay.
And I was really surprised. You know, Superman versus the Elite came really highly recommended from Peyton, and that's the one that I liked the least between the two.
Okay.
Something that's true of both of them is that there's a misleading kind of movie poster art thing happening with WB lately.
Yeah.
Where they have this like incredible, you know, comic cover artist, someone do the DVD cover, and the cartoon is nothing like what you see on the cover. I mean, everybody knows what WB superhero animation is like. I mean, it's like Batman, the animated series. It's like Justice League, you know, like they've put some extra oomph into the direct-to-DVD releases. We all really liked the Green Lantern one, I think, and or Peyton and I did anyway. And there were some other Batman ones that were pretty good with Superman. But the first thing that they changed, of course, with The Dark Knight Returns is that it's very heavily focused on the comic, The Dark Knight Returns, by Miller. And, I have to confess, I haven't read the comic because I'm not a huge fan of Miller's work. I like Sin City, but I like the movie and I don't really dig the comic. So I don't know what that says about me as a comic artist. It's kind of like, you know, emails thesizzlecafe@gmail.com. Just fire away, I guess. But it relied too much. Like, Jocelyn was asking all kinds of questions. Even I had questions. I was like, well, who are these mutants? Because they're the bad guys. And, you know, you're trying to figure out why they're all wearing red sunglasses. And, I mean, again, the graphic novel and the story was written in 1984, I think. And it was projecting Batman as, like, a 60-year-old guy about to, like, had already retired. And he comes back out of retirement because these mutants, who are not really mutants, I don't think.
They just call themselves mutants.
I think they just call themselves mutants. But again, they didn't explain that very well. I think they're just like, but see, like the guy's got pointy teeth. So I mean, it's a cartoon. So there's some liberties with the character design. And I mean, all they have to do is have one little scene of him filing his teeth, and I'm just like, oh, I get it. Okay, they're like, you know, augmenting their bodies, and they're calling themselves monsters. Like, I would understand that, but they never did that. So it was a little bit hard to follow that way. But Batman comes out of retirement, and he basically kicks some serious tail. But he's also, you know, old and rusty, and has some issues with it, which is, you know, you could see some of the inspiration that Nolan took for The Dark Knight Rises from The Dark Knight Returns. And Peter Wellers plays Batman. So RoboCop, for people that don't know, which in the trailer really put me off. I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I want my Kevin Conroy. You know, I've spent a good deal of my summer in Batman Arkham City, and I really, really dig that they got all the same voice actors from the animated series. So it took a little bit of getting used to, but then you kind of have to say, all right, well, you know, Batman's older. He's still a house, but he's not, you know, spry, you know, young Bruce Wayne. So he's tired. He's done with this whole thing already. So I was very surprised that Peter Wellers actually grows on you. And he's not a bad voice actor. He's there's a couple times where it's not his fault. He's basically monologuing, and it's just like, it's not cool. Like, it's Batman being kind of lame. And it's just,
yeah,
like,
monologue works in the comic, but not necessarily.
No,
it doesn't translate to the film.
You're so right. That's exactly right. It's the kind of thought box that you want to read as Batman, you know,
yeah,
hits somebody with a nerve bundle and makes their shoulder useless. Like, he doesn't say that out loud. Like, what? Come on, man. Like, so there's stuff like that was kind of lame. However, this is violent. This is not a kid's cartoon. This is not a sub 13-year-old cartoon. Like, there are people dying, being murdered, children, not visually murdered, but there's news reports of these mutants basically taking hostages, the demands not being met, and they kill the kids. Like, they kidnap rich people's kids, and if they don't get the ransom, they just blow the kids away. So, wow. Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, it's all this, like, is what spurs, you know, Bruce Wayne back into action. But while he's dealing with these mutants, he's breaking femurs, he's, you know, cracking people's noses, like, he is
destroying hips.
Oh, he is doing some serious damage. And everybody's like, you know, like, there's this divide in Gotham, like, well, who's he to you know, take the law into his own hands and blah, 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 blah. We thought we were rid of him because he retired when, like, there was a political protest to his vigilante work. But he's back, and he's freaking angry, and
there's a little hint there of something almost like in Civil War with Marvel, you know, like like all the heroes either go into hiding or they go public. Superman basically is a puppet now of Reagan. So
So the designs are a little bit clunky, but they make up for it with the animation, which is really well done for the most part. There's a couple of scenes where they're really kind of forcing homages to the comic, to the graphic novel, but the fight scenes are really good. Really, like, obviously somebody choreographed them. Everything is done for a reason. Like, he's moving left because he's going to hit the guy next to him, not just because he's, you know, that's the way that he's ducking. Like, it's all very thought out. And the way that they edited the sound, like, when he punches somebody in the ribs and breaks a couple of ribs, you get to hear it. And it's really good. I enjoyed, you know, that part of it. And he likes it. That's the other thing that they let loose, is that he's not exactly afraid to really hurt people. And there's a moment in the film, which I'm not going to spoil for anybody, because it caught both Jocelyn and I off guard. And it took us a long time to figure out what was going on. And it involved Batman and the Batmobile. And you could see that he was really hurting people, and you're just like, man, this is really visceral, you know? Like, I need to know how they're going to explain this, because they're kind of losing me right now. But they do bring it back, so I mean, that was definitely worth seeing. The other one there, was it Peyton?
That's a great Batmobile as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's essentially a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. The other one is the Superman versus the Elite, which I'll have less to say about because it wasn't as involved. Again, you know, like, the story relied heavily on comic stuff that I'm just not familiar with. These Elite people, I don't know whether they're comic characters or not. I'm not familiar with them at all. I feel like everybody is struggling so hard to come up with something new that they're forgetting that, you know what? I would sit and watch 90 minutes of Superman saving airplane crashes and bank robberies. Like, I would watch that because it would be cool. Yeah. And, or, you know, fighting Lex Luthor or fighting Brainiac or whatever, but just Darkseid even, you know, but not... not these, you know, group of five crazy powered people, to the point where you're kind of like, how the hell did they, you know, how the hell did they contest Superman? Like, or how does he contest them? It's just like so much kind of over the top stuff. The design is really, again, kind of over the top and for no real reason, you know, like this one guy has a Union Jack tattooed to his chest, which other than driving animators crazy, I don't know what the purpose of this would be. I mean, as a cleanup artist, you must have been pulling your brains out trying to animate this guy, you know, doing like, you know, superhero spin moves in perspective with this thing on his chest that's not supposed to slide around. Like, oh God, forget that. The other thing is there's all these little things that are attached to them. Like this one chick has snakes and wings, and the snakes come off of her chest and her wings and they attack people, and then they kind of get absorbed back into her chest and her wings. There's no explanation. You have no idea why she's able to fly. They all fly. They all just kind of hover. Not like Superman. They actually just kind of like, they've come in like Magneto almost. You know, like just kind of stand there and then they hover in. It's like, well, it's all, it doesn't have any oomph to it, you know? And then this other guy has got this power guy. Again, their names are so forgettable that I'm blanking on them all. He's basically got cufflinks with chains hanging from them, but okay. It's got nothing to do with his power. He basically focuses energy at people. Why the hell is he wearing chains? Like, there's all these different things that, again, if you didn't read this guy's backstory in like issue zero of whatever comic, you don't care. So they're really stretching to put stuff together. The fight scenes were pretty good. It was, again, well animated, because they've got the budget for it. But I wasn't a real big fan of the design of Superman. He was very swooshy. He was very round. He felt chubby sometimes for me. And other times not. Like other times they drew him like a brick shithouse, and other times they drew him kind of all round. It wasn't very consistent. I did like how they drew Clark though. He was more appealing. And it was like his eyes were drawn different, or there was something else that was different. Did you catch that, Peyton, when you watched it?
Yeah, now you mentioned it. Yeah, there is something there, especially towards the end of the film when he's talking to, what is his name? The Jack guy, Union Jack guy.
Union Jack guy, yeah, I don't
remember. Yeah, his eyes and the shape of his face are completely changed as Superman versus Clark. So
yeah. And it's almost like it evolved during the course of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty cartoony. Like the way that they've got his, he's got a fairly big chin. He's got large, you can see the whites of his eyes, which is not always something that you had, in the animated series, like the Superman animated or the Justice League stuff. They usually drew him with like dots and lines, which made him feel a little bit more adult. It didn't make him look so boyish, you know? The villains are, Manchester Black is the guy with the Union Jack on his face. Cold Cast, Menagerie, and The Hat, I think, are the other guys. And like The Hat, really? Of all
He's the magician.
He's the magician guy. And still, though, I mean, like,
Superman can't do anything against magic. Yeah, so.
The Hat. You know, like,
does he pull a rabbit out of it?
No, he summons
demons.
And, you know, so
have ears?
There might have been one that looked kind of rabbit-like.
Ah!
Some animator might have had some fun with that, I think. But yeah, it wasn't all that great as far as the whole movie was concerned. I do really like George Newbern as Superman. I don't remember who did Lois Lane, but I liked her as well. And actually, the most compelling stuff in the whole cartoon was the relationship between Clark and Lois, because in this particular telling of the story, she knows he's Superman, they live together, they're probably married or something. So she knows everything. They spend a lot of time together. There's all that kind of knowing banter, you know. She's trying to get a one-up on him on a story, and he's like, well, unless you can type 5,000 words a minute, you know, and his hands are just flying across the keyboard. Just kind of fun stuff like that that you would get in, like, the old Lois and Clark TV show that you don't get in the new tellings of stories because, of course, everything is a secret. No one knows who he is. So, yeah, that's my wrap-up on that. It was kind of anticlimactic. I didn't even like the whole fight scene at the end. I thought it was all kind of... I don't know. I mean, I understand that writing for Superman is hard.
I thought the laser lobotomy was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, using the laser vision and stuff like that, but that's the kind of stuff that they've covered in another WB animated one. It was the one where the Justice League from the other dimension come over.
Okay.
And that Superman, Ultraman or whatever his name is, he does that on purpose. Like, he lobotomizes villains to stupefy them, and instead of incarcerate them, he just basically turns them into mindless vegetables, which is what he does to...
Garrett.
Not Doomsday? Somebody else. I can't remember what else. But yeah, it gets convoluted really fast, and I understand that Superman is hard to write for in kind of a 21st century sensibility, but it just... I miss the whole... You know, I kind of want to go back and watch the old Superman cartoons from the 50s and 60s where he's just, saving the world. Saving the world from Nazis and Japanese bombers and stuff like that. I mean, it was a little bit simpler. Right on.
if not a little bit racist back in the day.
Well, yeah, okay, there is that. But, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, it was a product of his time, so.
Yeah, the world was a lot smaller back then, too.
Yeah.
Or larger, I guess. The opposite. So what's been on the turntable this week, guys? What have you been listening to?
Just one little thing for me, just a song called Alt J by a band called Breeze Blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sort of a techno-y vibe to it or something, but the video is amazing. The video is shot backwards, so it tells the story from, the end to the beginning, but it actually is worth watching twice and listen to it twice, because on the first pass through, you think that the main guy in it is one thing, but your opinion of him keeps changing throughout the entire piece. And when you watch it a second time with the full story, you're like, oh, okay. Anyway, it's sort of like, it's all actually filmed backwards as well. It's worth checking out. It's a fun little song too.
Cool.
Breeze Blocks. Yeah,
I'll have to check that out. Chad, what about you?
Mumford & Sons released a new album called Babel last week on the 25th. We've talked about Mumford & Sons before, haven't we?
I don't know if we have or not. I know that I just heard them the other day. Scott Johnson was playing their new album in the pre-show for one of his podcasts. It was either The Instance or actually it was The Instance. It was Friday, I think, that he was playing it. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed it.
iTunes Festival, man. They was released on the 25th. Free concert right now. You can watch it anytime on iTunes.
Nice. I will have to check that out.
Check it out. They can certainly rock a banjo and a string bass.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. They sweat their holes off in that concert, man. it really reminds me of back in the day going to something like Great Big Picnics on Citadel Hill with Great Big C playing and stuff. Same idea, man. Except the one guy's rocking the mini keyboard piano Jigger-ma-bob. I'm not even sure what the hell it is, but he plays the piano and he's rocking it while he's doing it. Like, he's into the songs. The lead singer, he's a little eccentric, but he's really good. The stand-up bass, string bass guy, he's just booming around, and the guy that plays the banjo, man, he can play the banjo. Wow. And I mean, I say this, he can play the banjo, and you're like, wow, banjo, Chad, thanks. I won't be checking that out. But no, it's English folk rock is how you can classify these guys if you're not familiar with them. It's really fun stuff. And I'd heard them before on satellite radio in my car. And just what was the song? The Cave, I believe. If you're going to look up some of their older stuff, one of their biggest songs is called The Cave, and they play it last on the iTunes Festival, and it's that is a raucous, rip-roaring song, that one. And their new one, I Will Wait, is really good too. That's their single off the new album. So yeah, go check them out. Mumford & Sons, Babel, their new album. It's out now.
Cool. I think their last album was 2007 or 8?
2009, I believe.
Oh yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I want to say that for The Cave. But you might be right.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. Okay. Babel is current. And then the previous one was Sigh No More, and that was 2009.
Yes. So and
the way that people were talking online, I thought that it had been longer since they had released an album.
Okay. Yeah. Tim Shell's another really good one off of the Sigh No More. It's a very slow, and all you got to do if you really want to get a good feel of all their stuff, watch the iTunes Festival.
Cool.
This the 25th of September.
Cool. I really like that stuff. I've been listening to some bluegrass and some gangster grass, which sounds silly, but is actually quite good.
Okay.
And that's got some banjo and stuff in it. Have I not sent you that before, Chad?
Gangsta no, Bass? I don't think
oh,
so.
Oh, dude,
no.
I'll hook you up. You cool. Got to hear this stuff. It's weird. I'll warn you, but it's fun. And if you like Mumford and Sons, you'll probably end up liking this.
Okay, good.
Imagine Mumford and Sons, but with rap. Yeah, exactly. There's always a giggle, but then you're like, I might like it. Yeah. This week I actually took in a new podcast, which if you know me, that's hard to do because my podcast calendar is pretty full. I'm either on them or listening to them. And Comic Dorks launched on the Frog Pants Network. And there's a bit of a, I guess, a saturation point in terms of podcasts about webcomics. And that's not what this is. Scott Johnson, Scott Kurtz, Steven Schleicher, and Mark Spagnolo get together once a month at the moment, and they talk about comics. So Cape and Cowl comics, Marvel, DC, Big Three, indie comics, graphic novels, and they dig into that stuff. So they're not talking about, like, how do you make a webcomic, how do you get it online, all that kind of stuff. Now, Scott Johnson and Scott Kurtz are both web cartoonists themselves. Steven Schleicher runs a comic news blog, majorspoilers.com, and Mark Spagnolo is a woodworker and just happens to be super fun into comics and podcasting and nerdy stuff, and a very smart guy. I knew that he had left another, I guess, line of work to pursue woodworking, but he left genetics. Like, he's a smart cat. So to hear him talk about comics and what he likes in different books and stuff like that is very cool. The first episode is up on frogpants.com/comicdorks. And it is a really interesting look at the future of publishing and consuming comics. Because, they get into what they're going to, you know, what they're reading right now, and they recommend a couple books later on in the show. But the big conversation at the start is, like, you know, for book creators, what does the future hold? For book consumers, I mean, and all of them have iPads, you know, what does the future hold? So it's a really balanced discussion with Scott and Scott talking about the creator side of things, and then Steven and Mark talking about the consumer side of things. And even Steven Schleicher talking a little bit on side of, like, the comic book shops and what it means for, you know, his friends that have comic book shops and sell comics and stuff like that. So it's a really, really interesting conversation if you're into comics and want to check out some new books. Peyton, particularly for you with an iPad, they've got some cool recommendations that are as little as a dollar a piece.
Cool.
You know, for some fun stuff. There's some Transformers comic that sounded really, really cool. And they're written by somebody at Blizzard. Mike Morheim, maybe? I could be wrong. As I mentioned before, thesigilcafe@gmail.com, if I'm wrong, please tell me. And that actually is a nice little segue into our email section, where we would normally read emails from you, the listener, but we don't have any. So if you have something to say, a correction, a recommendation, then please do so. Let us know at thesigilcafe@gmail.com. You can also send an MP3 or send us a note on Twitter. And it's thesigilcafe on Twitter as well. So the Internet Minute this week, I have a really, really quick pick that I caught just this afternoon on Tech News Today. And it's a boingboing.net article with those little quadrocopters, you know, those little, you know, self-flying, you know, little mini helicopter
killer
things.
Killer drones.
The killer drones, yeah, those things.
Yeah.
They're playing catch. And they're playing catch with one another.
Oh, my God.
It is crazy. Basically, you've got three drones connected to a net. The ball is in the net. When all three drones fly away from each other quite quickly, the ball is thrown up into the air. And then they catch it. And the first part of the video is pretty straightforward. The ball goes up, it comes down, it's all pretty easy. Then they start throwing the ball at an angle and then repositioning themselves to catch it. And they get better as time goes on because the algorithms are learning, and the whole thing just seems kind of very Skynet, of course. Later on in the video, there's a camera attached to the ball, so you get to see the ball's point of view. And there was one other thing with a basket where they learn and they get more accurate at hitting a target.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
It looks like basketball, but you can easily see, you know, what they could, you know, what kind of payload they could be.
Grenades.
Dropping on stuff, right? But it's all very cool. I find robotics really interesting. So if you're into quadrocopters and baseball, then check out quadrocopters playing catch.
We're probably like three generations away from having walking down the road and then 3D things come by and grab you and you're gone.
They realize that you, yeah, they realize that you and your son have got the same DNA, and then they swoop in from New York skyscrapers and pull you into the into the skyline.
No, but you just think of me, like, you had, you know, a couple something like that on the go, and then, you know, some you know, a wanted person is just walking in the backyard, you know, watering their plants, and yoink.
Nice.
Yeah.
Too funny.
Or, you know, if you got your neighbor's dog, he's pissed on your lawn, you can deal with that that way.
Well, too. You can do that now. You can buy these things for a couple hundred bucks and terrorize your neighborhood cat. That's nice. What I would be doing.
Nice.
Or what you would have been doing 20 years ago, right, Joel?
Yes, well, yes.
Now, right. Not no, now. Not now. Not now. No. No. Yeah. Peyton, what about you, man? What's your internet pick this week?
Oh, just a quick little animated short called Things You Better Not Mix Up. And it's a funny little couple minutes of, you know, here's one object and here's another. For example, what happens if a lumberjack ends up with a violin bow? He can't cut down a tree. But what happens when the violinist uses the lumberjack's saw to try to use his violin? Cuts through his arm as well as the violin, right? So it just, you know, very silly. So
yeah,
it's funny little 2 minutes. But that's about it for me for internet picks. How about you, Chad? What's going on with you and the web?
I finally sat down and spent some time on theoatmeal.com.
Oh, God. Why?
Why? Oh, it sucked me right in, man, and I was gone for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like it just drew me in, and I thought a lot of it was well done. I thought a lot of it was just ranty, but just some of the stuff he put up. He's the guy that he's got an Indiegogo campaign about getting a Tesla museum funded for like over $1 million.
Over $1 million, yeah.
And he's reached his goal.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the guy has more clout than anyone really can figure out the reason for. He's the guy that there was some sort of lawsuit where somebody threatened to sue him, and he said, screw that, I'll raise the money to pay off your lawyer and then raise that money again twice and give it to my two favorite charities in like a week or something crazy. No. And he totally did it. Like he has all the angry nerds of the internet behind him.
Yes, he does.
And
there
was a bit of I found out about the oatmeal a long time ago when there was a really heated discussion on Webcomics Weekly, back when they were still recording the podcast, where Scott Kurtz got into it. With his opinions of the oatmeal. It's not that he doesn't like the oatmeal. It's that the oatmeal was calling itself a webcomic.
Oh, yeah, it's totally not. You can't classify that.
Yeah, well, you can't. I mean, it's like, well, you know, what is media? What is art? You know, like you can get kind of heady with the whole thing. But that's what I had a problem with, that this guy that was, you know, being associated with webcomics, that, you know, in comparison, you just, it's like comparing, you know, your local mommy blog to, you know, the Geek Moms blog that's run by Wired.com. I mean, you know, obviously one is going to have professional journalists that happen to be mothers working on it. The other is going to have mothers that aspire to be journalists, you know, working on it. And it's apples and oranges. I mean, like, it's two very different worlds. And that's what I thought the oatmeal was. I mean, I remember a search term that I looked for while I was writing the book. I was double checking my grammar and looking for the proper use of a semicolon.
Yes, yes.
And the blog post from the oatmeal for that topic is the first hit on Google. And I read it and I understood it, and it was poignant. It was funny. It was, you know, a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
And it got me the information. But it was not a comic. It was illustrated, but it was not a comic per se. So I mean, I can appreciate the oatmeal for that kind of stuff, but I always have a line in the sand where I have to say, you're not the comic.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember that rant we had about quite a few months ago now, when season 2 of Game of Thrones was about to start up and we were all discussing on how we were going to watch it?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He did the same thing, but he put it into like the rant form that he does, right? And then like substantiates every step he takes. So he says, okay, I want to watch Game of Thrones, but I don't have HBO. So then he goes through each step, and then, oh, I found it on iTunes. So I went to do it on iTunes, and he's got like the devil and the angel coming and telling him, the angel's like, no, you shouldn't illegally download it. And so like, because the devil wants him to, and then he goes through, and he basically went in a vicious circle, and he came back and he illegally downloaded it because that was the only way he was going to get it.
Yeah.
you know, because he couldn't, like, you know, in Canada, you can't watch web, you can't watch HBO content online, even if you subscribe. The iTunes thing was a pass, not an actual, here's all the episodes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, there was one other way to do it, some other website I'd never heard of before. And it was so true. And I really, that was one of the first ones I read, that the semicolon one, and one about, the dog paradox. That was the other one. And then that's what hooked me in. And then I was 2 hours later, I'm like, holy shit. I think I read everyone. Because at the bottom, there's a link to like five different ones, right? And you're right. Like, hey, that looks interesting. Click.
Click, yeah.
And then there's five more different ones at the bottom of that one, right?
So, oh, the toilet bowl of the internet.
Yes, in the toilet bowl and how to, what is it, the sanitary napkins you put down on a toilet bowl.
Yeah.
He talks all about those.
Yeah.
So the guy's got tough stuff to talk about. So
kids, yeah, this anyway. Is what happens when you have your evenings to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Or 2 hours at work where nobody's bothering you.
You got paid for that, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Oh, man. Nice.
Well, that's Joel, there was one about working at home. And going to work.
Nice.
And I want, and see, like, there were so many I wanted to post on social media, and I'm going, no, I'll just talk about the whole website when I get on yeah. the Citadel Cafe. I'm not going to clog everybody's timelines with like 50 different things.
I find that I've been doing that lately where I'll see something online. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to tweet that. Oh, it's Monday. If I just hold off on that, I could use that on the show.
Yeah.
And I just, you have to take that gamble as to whether it's going to be timely to talk about it on Wednesday as opposed to Monday. Because, I mean, stuff is old news 6 hours later.
Well, see, and you guys are so always online and, you know, you're doing something and Joel, you're listening to the podcast and Peyton, you're bouncing through all this stuff. And you guys really, I don't think you guys have ever had a problem getting an internet minute. That is the one part where I break into anxious sweats every week. Nice. Like, oh, I need an internet minute. What am I? I don't read the internet. I've already mentioned everything I've already mentioned. I read on the internet three times. What else is there left? So when I found that, I was like, okay, it's got to be that this week. So
right on.
Oh my God.
Well, that brings us to the finale of the Citadel Cafe. The music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod. We record the show live every Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern on starcrossedonline.com. The podcast is, of course, available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. That is where you can find our show notes, which are currently being typed by me, but usually are typed by Jocelyn. If you want to check out her podcast, Friends of the Show, The Gamers Inn, they usually record on Wednesday nights as well, but the record dates are subject to Jocelyn's work schedule, which happens to be 4 days in a row right now. So they are not recording until that's over, I don't think. I haven't talked to her today since she's been home, so I don't know when the show is actually recording.
It's Friday.
Okay, cool. GamersInPodcast.com. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. Social versions for Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus are all the same thing. It's just our name. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways for our show to reach new listeners. You can leave a rating, give us a review, and we'll share your thoughts right here on the next episode. As I mentioned at the top of the show, my name is Joel Duggan, and you can find pretty much all that I'm up to at starcrossedonline.com. And you can also find my new book, which has been successfully funded via Indiegogo.com, at Indiegogo.com/StarCrossed Volume 1. There are only 7 hours left, and I just received word that I passed $3,300 by a hair. So there are less than $100 to go to reach that the laminate cover for the stretch goal. So looks like that is going to happen. Hopefully there'll be a little bit of a bump at the last 7 hours. I'm going to be tweeting it out this evening and talking about it a little bit more as I finish the cover for the book, which I don't want to brag, but I'm really happy with the way that the cover is coming together. It's been a lot of work, and it's coming together quite nicely. So I'm looking forward to delivering the book to you folks. You can follow me on Google Plus and on Twitter with just my name, Joel Duggan. Peyton, where can people find you on the internet?
TheCardboardTreehouse.com and at Peyton Francis on the Twitter. Other places around if you look for me. How about you, sir, Mr. Chatterino? Where can people find you?
Oh, it's all depressing. Ryan's name's still on from last week, so I don't know. You can find me at Chad Merlin on Twitter. I guess.
Womp, womp, womp.
You run like a
Go Leafs.
Go Leafs. Leaf fans are depressed this year that they won't be depressed that the Leafs aren't going to make the playoffs again.
poor Leaf fan not here to defend herself. I don't even like hockey, so I can't even voice
it. You like hockey. You don't support the NHL.
True. Okay, yeah, you're right. Quebec Major Junior League. I actually want to go see a game as soon as I can.
Ooh, let's go. Yeah, they're doing decent. They're 3-2 right now. And I think Drouin and McKinnon both got a couple more points last night. So.
Yep. Good old hockey game. It's the best game you can name. And until you go see a hockey game, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, can't skate, but we're cheap. You can only pick two.
I can skate forward.
I can't skate backwards.
I can't skate.
You can't skate at all.
I can't stop.
I can stop by hitting the rails. And
stuff. I can't stop properly. I can stop, you know, like coolly, like I'm like dragging my foot, like, yeah, I don't need to stop normal because I'm cool, you know?
And so really, street, you skating?
Yeah. And it looks so, everyone's like, man, Chad, you can skate. And I'm like, no, I can't stop. I'm like, yeah, but, and then they kind of go, shit, I've never seen you spray snow anywhere. And then that's right, buddy, because I can't stop.
Nice. Too funny.
Chad, you're a fast skater. Yep, but I always slow up when I hit the blue line. I wonder why. I'm afraid of hitting the net.